www.radioinfinite.org.
96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick met with the new U.S. Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, this week. He joins me now to talk about that meeting and other Howard University news. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Dr. Frederick, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about your meeting with the new Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos. What was your impression of her, and what did you discuss?
Yeah, she was thoughtful, and she listened, and listened very carefully. She wanted information on higher ed, on HBCUs, and particularly on Howard. Based on the data that she had and was given and was briefed about, Howard University represented, in her opinion, one of the successful higher ed institutions in terms of not getting students to navigate the matriculation process and getting them out. And obviously, we also are one of two non-military schools in the federal budget that has a federal appropriation, and so there was an interest there. So we had a wide-ranging conversation that discovered those topics, my observations about those, the things that I think work for students, the fact that the Howard student is an academically gifted student, but a student with significant financial needs that we need to support in an appropriate fashion to make sure that we are advancing those students successfully. So I spoke about, you know, that need and was able to sensitize her about the need for our students, and that the number one reason they don't graduate on time is because of financial resources versus anything else. The other thing that we spoke about was the middle school on our campus, which is a charter school. We spoke about that and you know, how those students do, how we as a university support that school, not just financially, but in terms of the programming, et cetera. And then the third thing that we spoke about and touched on broadly were public schools. I identified the fact that a large number of Howard students, a greater percentage of Howard students than any other group, come from the public school system in America, and that that system has to be strong in order to, you know, support you know, what we do, and in general, I think, to support America in terms of diversifying the various fields. So I also spoke about some of the programs we have with them, such as the DC. We have a dual enrollment program with Banneker and McKinley Tech, to name two as an example. And so we spoke about that, and we spoke about the fact that those two schools, we enroll juniors from there, and those students attend Howard. We don't charge them tuition, and we think it's a very strong program. But again, it represents the best of the public school system and why we think the public school system needs to be supported.
When you spoke to her about public schools, and that has been one of the big criticisms of Secretary DeVos prior to her confirmation, is that she was not a big supporter of public schools. What did she say?
Yeah, no, I like I said, she listened. I mean, it wasn't a setting or a meeting for, you know, about opinions and stuff like that. And I certainly have familiarized myself with a lot of her positions. I would probably alter what you said just slightly. I think one of the things that she has been advocating for is choice, so that people have a choice. And I know there's a lot of debate here, and I've heard very interesting discussions about this. Roland Martin on TV One, for instance, has a very interesting conversation about whether or not African Americans want choice. And he held a symposium here at Howard, for instance, because he is convinced that some of the positions taken by people assuming that African Americans don't support choice in school is probably not accurate. And I think it is a real debate. My personal position on it is we cannot do things that may erode the public school system. And one of those clearly is funding. And so we have to come up with an equitable system that, even if you promote choice, does not do that at the expense of the public school system. And I feel strongly about that. I think, you know, that's something that we have to advocate for. It's a healthy discussion. In her role, she has a significant responsibility. And we as a university with our School of Education will continue to support, you know, the public school system, where, again, a lot of underrepresented demographics in this country primarily get their education. And so we have to be sensitive to that. And like I said, I think she was, you know, open to listening and hearing that perspective.
One of the biggest criticisms of the previous administration, the Obama administration, is that he did not do enough behind the scenes to help support HBCUs. Do you have the impression that Secretary DeVos and, you know, by extension, the Trump administration has a truer or a true different opinion or procedure or process about supporting HBCUs?
Yeah, I don't know that they do. I have to be honest with you. But what I am committed to doing is trying to get them there. And that's why I think we have to engage and advocate. A big part of this, though, is the understanding of what the HBCUs are, the impact we have, what is the return on investment when you invest in them, et cetera. And I think that's a big gap, though, Harold, where I'm not sure most people understand that. We represent only 3% of higher ed institutions in this country. Despite that fact, we are responsible for 21% of the bachelor's degrees awarded to African Americans in this country. So we're punching well above our weight. We're responsible for 34% of the bachelor's degrees in STEM disciplines that go to, again, go to African Americans. So, I mean, the impact we have is enormous. And so some of the decisions that we have to make from time to time are very different. And I think with any administration, you've got to sensitize them to that. You've got to be clear about what it is we do. President Obama attended Occidental College and then attended Columbia and Harvard, two Ivy League schools. And I think sometimes we make the assumption that because of the color of one's skin, they will automatically have an understanding. He's been educated in an Ivy League system. He was educated in an Ivy League system. So therefore, what he knows about higher ed academia based on his own experience is that. And then obviously you then have to sensitize him. He has been criticized about his stance on HBCUs. I don't think it's always well-founded. When I look at when he talks about HBCUs, I think it's a difficult conversation because you're talking about 107 schools that look very different. You have a complex institution like Howard with a dental school, a med school, owns a hospital, TV station, radio station. I mean, very complicated. And then you have some schools that are very small, low graduation rates. Some have better graduation rates. So trying to talk about them in one soundbite is difficult. There are certain steps that the prior administration took that I think rubbed people the wrong way. The White House Initiative on HBCUs, which was started by President Jimmy Carter, was moved from its location in the White House to the Department of Education. I think that didn't sit well with people. People felt that it wasn't getting more attention. The administration, I think, may have thought that, well, let's put it where, you know, the money is and things of that nature that supports education, and so we get it better. But, you know, that I don't think that was the way people took it. The PLUS loan debacle was another one. You change the criteria for the PLUS loan to avoid harmful borrowing in terms of predatory lending, but not looking at what the impact would be on people in terms of their creditworthiness, et cetera. And so a lot of people, as a result, were hurt because of that.
You mentioned the 107 schools, and I think the reality is, and this isn't taking anything away from any of the 106 HBCUs, but the reality is that the Howard University pedigree stands head and shoulders above everyone else, even if you're only talking about the name. And so when you're talking about those, whether it is an Ivy League educated President Obama or a Trump administration and a Betsy DeVos, do you think that Howard University has a leg up because of its name, because of its pedigree, because of its recognition, that this may very well put you in a position that you are the go-to person to educate this administration about what the other 106 HBCUs need?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Howard obviously has a very strong legacy, and I think obviously I have a responsibility because of the complexity and the nature of what we do here and the successes that we've had, that we support that in the appropriate way. So I think you do make a good point in terms of that. I think we all have a responsibility. My responsibility is not simply to just advocate for Howard, but to advocate for HBCUs, to advocate for public schools, to advocate for charter schools like the one on Howard's campus, to really make sure that underrepresented demographics in this country have an opportunity and an access to education just like everyone else does, and that they are fully supported by this administration and any other administration to come. What is important for us to know, as I think as a community, is that that has always been the calling card of the university. If you go back to Mordecai Wyatt Johnson and you look at his engagement with the presidents of the country as well as officials in Congress, etc., he was always at the table advocating, regardless of who was in power, what their point of view was, etc. We've always been connected to the federal government by our charter and as a result by our funding. And so that is a situation that's also unique in our history that we have to recognize, that we have to play that role. More importantly, I think there's a moral obligation in this country to make sure that education is something that is accessible the same way I feel about health. And so you have to make sure that you're educating any administration or any official about what is the true experience of a Howard University student. There are people out there that believe that only African-Americans from the upper middle class or upper class send their kids to Howard. That's just not the case. 60% of my undergrad students are Pell Grant eligible. We've got $30 million of uncollected tuition as of today, $8 to $9 million from last semester. Those are things that, you know, people need to be clear about. And that is not just simply rich African-American families that are sending kids to our university. So all of that are nuances that we've got to keep working at, to keep making sure that people are clear as to what it is we do, why we exist, and how we intend to do it even better.
You said you had a message to the students who were concerned about the meeting with Secretary DeVos, and you wanted to say something to them. What is it that you wanted them to know?
You know, I think we have to continue to engage, Harold. That's the primary message, that we have to engage. I met with some of those students today, and they had very, very good points. I learned some important things from them in terms of making sure that we understand why it is we must be at the table, and that for very long periods of time in the history of this country, we were isolated and not at the table. And that is not a position we ever want to find ourselves in. And when we look at whether it's civil rights leaders or others, they made an effort to make sure that they try to engage, etc. Now, that engagement can't be at the cost of compromising our principles. And I think the message from the students today was loud and clear on that topic. They are very concerned about the President of the United States, his positions, the people that he has hired, the harm that they believe those people may bring to people who look like them. And I think that's a sensitization that we have to make sure that we advocate for as well, and that we're clear, and that they feel safe and protected, and that they also feel that as their president, I advocate for them strongly and vigorously. And I think that that's a strong message that I needed to hear, and I'm thankful for that opportunity to hear that. This campus is very diverse. On the same token, I'll have meetings with other constituents who feel differently, college Republicans, et cetera. And so I have the job of, you know, balancing that and making sure that everybody can come to this environment and feel represented and feel respected.
Hold your point. I want you to continue on the other side. We are sitting with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick talking about all things Howard University. Please stay with us. The lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Stay with us.